Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
The strike back in, I think it was in the
94.
The late 90s. Yeah, since that strike, my baseball fandom has seriously waned.
Gotcha.
We had friends come in from California over the summer, and he wanted to go to a game. So we went and saw a Brewers-Cubs game.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's pretty much the only game that I have paid to go to since sometime in the 90s.
Wow. Good
for you. Now that's holding a grudge.
I know.
That is get off my lawn, old man material right there.
That's Kornheiserian.
Yeah, right. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
You're not dancing anymore, unfortunately.
It's fine.
Yeah, you should just be proud.
We had our moment. I'm proud of my school. It's probably the first time I've been proud of my school.
Go Sea Wolves.
So, go yeah, there wolves. You go.
Is that what Chuck said? Charles Barkley. Excuse me, Chuck.
I'm like, who? Yes, that's what he said. Yeah. Sea Wolves. And then he corrected it shortly after.
Go Seahawks. Yeah. It was to be expected. But,
It's
still exciting for them. Like I said, I mean, these kids are playing against future NBA all-stars.
I know.
You know? I mean, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, for them to be able to tell their kids. And you know, who knows? Maybe someone from Wagner will make the NBA. You never know.
Yeah, sure. You never know.
But yeah. So, well, besides that, how are you doing? Your bracket's doing good?
It's fine. It's basically mediocre.
Yeah.
It's mediocre.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm happy with most of my picks. I knew I didn't pick enough upsets.
Right.
But for the most part.
As Tony's been saying, it's mostly chalk now.
Yeah.
You know, there were a few upsets in there. It's like all the higher seeds move on.
That's
what chalk means. Yeah. but no, I mean, I filled out two brackets. I did a Chuck and Roxy one, and then I did a Loyal Littles Podcast one because the Big Show said we could fill out two. So I thought, well, it's more publicity for us.
I didn't put into the Big Show.
Well, I put in for us. That's what I did. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm still a little bummed that we didn't get, you know, bumped up to the celebrity bracket, but you know, whatever. I know we're just Chuck and Roxy here. No big deal.
Right.
But let's get to our last episode. Ted Cagney, episode 304. So great. And, you know, I love it when they write in right after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they either correct themselves or they have something to say. But he had some fun. He said, the first person to contact me this morning was Claire, episode one.
Aww.
She loved the interview. The second person was Steve Osbold offering me a box of that barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
You're going to want to get that.
Yeah.
You're going to want to get that.
Up.
It's really good. It's really good. Then we heard from Claire Natola, episode one. Oh, my God. I drove a duck boat too, Roxy.
Yeah.
Back in 2014. Same thing. Quote unquote. Who wants to drive? It was great.
It was great.
Yeah. Yep. And then we have a correction.
Okay.
This audio file was handed to me from Lewis and said, just play it, Chuck. So that's what we're going to do.
Oh, geez, Lewis. Tell Chuck that it is pronounced Lidditz. That's why there was a hyphen between the L-I-D and the I-T-Z.
Now, wait a minute. I thought it was Lititz now. Was Simon pulling our leg on that?
I think so.
Lidditz. Okay. So
I had that.
Oh my God. The funniest thing. Well, he says that. He did say that at one point. The funny thing is that you just hear it in his voice. He just left it out. It's like, God, you're a freaking dope. You know, that's what he wants to say at the end of that soundbite, you know, but that was Jim Lean. Thank you so much for the voice memo and the correction.
Yes.
Yeah. Where else? We've got so much clerical business work, I feel like, to do this episode, Roxy. Let's get to a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's from Jeff Whipple, and it says, for Charlie Warren. And it says, once you hit 5 and 11, you must set your sights on 9 and 20. Come on, man. Now, the reason this is a thank you, Roxy, is because he sent us $9.20 through Venmo. He used the code.
Thank you so much.
He went to Venmo. Typed in LL Pod.
Yeah.
Came up with our thing.
Yeah.
And he sent us a one-time donation. How sweet was that?
$9.20.
$9.20. And it makes sense. You know, you hit 5 and 11. You got to go for 9 and 20.
Yeah.
So Charlie Warren, that's a message to you. He probably already sent it by now. That was a couple episodes ago when he was like, what do I do? Do I stay at 5 and 20? No, you got to go. You got to get
5 and 11.
Or 5 and 11. He's like, no, you got to get to 9 and 20.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But most importantly, Jeff Whipple, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Episode
really.
TBD, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hello. Got to get your Chuck and Roxy number.
Right. Anytime.
But we really do appreciate, you know, all the help. Every little bit helps. You know, we got, you know, the $3 one for the 300th episode and all these 5 and 11s are hilarious.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Obviously the 920, that's so even better.
Fun. I know, right?
We really appreciate it. And remember, that's Venmo. One time donation. Just go there, type in our code.
LL Pod.
And then, or you can obviously become a monthly supporter. That's on our website. Just go to the bottom. It'll bring you to Spotify. It shows you how to do that. You can support the podcast, become a supporter for as little as 99 cents a month.
Yep.
And we really appreciate all you supporters.
Just hop over to loyallittlespod.com.
Yeah, loyallittlespod.com. So I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
All right, now, should we tease it? Or I feel like let's be nice this round. Maybe we'll tease it in future episodes. Well, no, we all know everyone's waiting to see if they made it to the Sweet 16 for the bracket name challenge. Names. Actually, Roxy, I lied. We are going to tease it.
Yeah,
because I wanted to give this A1 above the fold. It's a Littles helping Littles situation. So we want to, and like I said, A1 above the fold. It's from Claire Natola, episode 1, of course. Yep. And she just asked us if we would provide the information and stuff like that. But we're going to do one better than that. She posted on her Smart and Funny Facebook TK group. What is it? TK Smart
TK
and Funny.
TK Little Smart and Funny.
TK Little Smart and Funny. There's so many different ones. I just get the names mixed up. But actually, we're going to have you read it, Roxy. And I just copied it right from
the
post. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go ahead.
So Claire says, "Hey folks, I need to tell you about one of our own who is going through a really rough time. Many of you will recall meeting Chris Campbell through the Loyal Littles podcast. He was the featured guest in episode 259 last September. Chris talked about his career as an athletic coach, Catholic U, Marymount, Delaware, Maryland, etc. We learned a lot about his family too, including their search for a diagnosis for his wife. The diagnosis turned out to be an autoimmune disorder, which his children also have. And his son Grayson, who needed brain surgery to correct a blocked artery, having the opportunity to shout play ball at game 5 of the 2019 World Series. This family has been through the ringer, and now it's Chris who is facing his biggest challenge. Chris was hospitalized 3 weeks ago with septic shock and subsequently suffered a bacterial infection in his blood, an eye infection, a fungal infection, an esophageal hernia, and a blood clot in his neck. Folks, it's amazing that he's still alive. The scariest part of all of this is that he was at work feeling completely fine one day and in the ICU in the wee hours of the following morning. Chris is recovering but is going to have a long road. He is still hospitalized but will be transferred to an acute rehab when a bed opens up. As he said when he updated me, I've joked that I no longer feel like I've been hit by a truck, just feel like I've been hit by a car. It's amazing that he can still maintain any sense of humor given how much he is suffering. A GoFundMe has been set up for Chris and his family. Won't you take a moment to check it out? The GoFundMe page also contains a link to a meal train for the Campbells. Any help you can give would be greatly appreciated. Chris is a member of this group, so please leave some positive thoughts for him in this thread too. Thank you for your support." And then she posted the link, which we'll put at the end of...
Yeah, we'll put that in our show notes.
Notes, yes.
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I mean, wow. I mean, what really struck me was, you know, thankfully she was able to have a conversation with him and, you know, to hear that his humor is still, you know, that he's still in good spirits is amazing after all of that. But it's true. I mean, you have a moment that life just kind of throws you a major, major curveball. And to be able to come out the other side and still be you is pretty incredible. Yeah. So we're sending him all the best.
Yeah. So first of all, Littles, if you have any question about his personality, anything like that, this is why we created this podcast. Go to episode 259, listen to his story.
Yeah.
You'll hear all about his son.
Yep.
And that was such a great story about
it
him
was.
Getting to yell
it
play
was,
ball
yeah.
during the World Series and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money or whatever like that, but I tell you,
check it out.
Every little bit helps.
Yep.
I will say that. And my gosh, if every one of the listeners that listen to this podcast did $9.20, you know, whatever, I'm just one of those stupid, it would be so helpful.
Right.
They're doing really well so far.
Yeah.
But they're a long way from the goal. Mm-hmm. And like she said, there's the meal stuff in there and stuff like that. Any little bit you can help would be greatly appreciated.
Yep.
So we wish him and his entire family, because I can only imagine what they're going through too. I mean, that's like you said, one minute you're fine and you're at work and then the next minute you're in the ICU. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Get well soon.
Yes. We're thinking of you, Chris.
Yeah. I'm going to listen to his episode again.
Yeah.
I just want to hear him.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get to what a lot of you have been waiting for. Uh-huh. Let's get some updates before our great Meet the Littles guest, another fun one today, our bracket challenge.
Yeah, the names.
Well, the name, but let's get to our first part.
Okay.
Let's do who's okay. actually knows what they're doing, because we don't.
No.
Well, you came in third last time, Roxy.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Roxy, out of all of us. Now, here's the most disappointing thing, Roxy. Ritz doesn't have a bracket. Tiny Chuck doesn't have a bracket. Sami doesn't have.
Wait, they didn't do one?
No. Well, Ritz says he joined the wrong group.
What are you doing out there,
dope?
Man?
No, he did. He says, I feel like a dope. He joined the wrong group. Now, he says that, but as we're going to see in a second, there's a few bracket
sneaky
names.
Right.
I think he's telling us that because he wants to win the bracket name. He's not telling us what bracket is his. Ritz. Anyway, but yeah, and Tiny Chuck just, well, he's got a baby now,
so he's
put a fork in him. He's done. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to our leaders. We have in first place, or should we go? Let's go backwards. Third place. We're just going to do top three. Third place, Jordan Kaplan. I think that's Jordan Kaplan. Third place. Now, the interesting thing is they all have different champions. So he has North Carolina going all the way.
Okay.
Then in second place, we have...
Oh, we're doing the actual legit bracket right now?
Yes, Roxy.
I thought
Roxy,
we were doing the names. That's not funny. That's not a funny name. That's just a name. Well, sorry, no offense, but...
Well, his bracket name was Joliet Jake's Picks.
Joliet Jake's Picks.
Okay. He had 510 points.
Okay.
All right. Then at 520 in second place, we had Ben Danner, and he has Purdue going all the way.
Oh.
If you care, his... bracket name was B. Danner.
Okay.
That's all it says. Then in first place right now, and they have UConn as their champion.
Ooh.
With 550 points, we have Ted Shields. And his bracket was named Might As Well Just Flip a Picks.
Okay.
That's what it's called. I don't know. Some, like I said, a lot of them are just generic names or whatever.
Right.
ESPN sign in, login.
Yep.
All right, now let's get to what we've been,
okay.
You know, now we want to get to the
names.
These are in random order. Want to make sure I'm very clear about that. We narrowed it down to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
These are in random order. Here we go. We've got Jeff Maquette. We've got Subamu Cows. We've got Jesse Ate the Mouse.
That's cute.
We've got My Picks Flush the Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, that's what he said. We've got Ritz's secret bracket.
Okay.
We've got My Dog Eats Butter. And we've got Smashy Von Sausage.
I like that
Now,
one.
We don't know why we like that one, but...
I don't know why, but
it's cute.
Funny.
It made Roxy laugh, mm-hmm. So I put it in there. So that's not the only reason. All right. Go ahead.
All right. We've also got, haven't watched one game. Fonz me. Fonz you, totally not Ritz, wink. The wink is in, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's cute.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mushed the Flouse, that's clever.
That's clever.
Bowlingly Bracket.
Of course.
Mr. Roper's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups Down. Butcher Box This, and Choxie's Box.
That's the 16, right?
Yep.
All right, so that is our Sweet 16 Bracket Name Challenge. That's what we've narrowed it down to. Now, don't forget, this is not just Chuck and Roxy. We are putting these names out to the other
third wheels,
and they are all going to come down, and whichever one has the most votes will eventually be our champion bracket name.
Yes.
So we don't want to. You don't need to be sending in, you know, stuff to, you know.
I didn't realize that there's no limit. I wonder if there is a limit on how many words you can have in the name
or how long
the name can be, because I think Mr. Roper's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups Down is the longest name I've seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. All right. So next episode, we will narrow it down to the Big Eight and then the Final Four, of course.
Yeah.
And then the Final Two. And then we'll see who wins.
So, one.
All right, Roxy, let's get to our great Meet the Littles guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Robin Cowie from Longmont, Colorado. And you're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
satellites. Even when you come and go, don't wanna walk this road alone. And a moment left not to lose. Standing here, make it out.
We are being played in this episode by one of our favorite New York City-based bands called Bonfire Falls. And this song is called Can I Run With You? Now, if you like what you hear, the best place to find all their stuff is over on Bandcamp. Just head on over to bonfirefalls.bandcamp.com. That's bonfirefalls.bandcamp.com. And we'll put all that in the show notes. And the most important thing is we will play the full song, Can I Run With You? At the end of the podcast. Now time to
meet the Littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
Just found out where this one's from.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I've been there many times.
I have not.
It's a cute little town.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say a town. It's bigger than a town.
Yeah.
Let's please welcome to the podcast, Mike Doherty. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. Good to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to find out where you're from. So what we'd like to do is go way back. Take us back. Where'd you grow up? Things like that. Anything you want to share with the Littles?
Sure. I was born in Savannah, Georgia. My father was in the Air Force. So spent the first 3 years of my life there, then moved to the Philippines for 18 months. My father had a 2-year assignment. He went out 6 months ahead of us. We went in 1966 or 67. So it's January of 67. We went there and came back in July of 68. So it was 18 months.
Wow.
Was then transferred to or stationed at Langley Air Force Base in Hampton, Virginia. Although we lived in the base housing in York County, he retired from the Air Force in 1971, a year before we built a house. My parents built a house. I had nothing to do with it in York County.
Right.
So I grew up there, went to high school with the first base coach. Well, he was with the Mets or the Padres, a former with the Orioles, Wayne Kirby. So first base coach in the major leagues. He was a star athlete in my high school.
Nice.
Was on the football team, the basketball team, the baseball team. At that time, I actually started getting into sports writing. I was the student council reporter. I call up the weekly paper and say, you gonna have anybody at the football game? He said, no, we don't have anybody. I said, well, I'll do it. And next thing you know, I'm going to high school football games. Picked a good year to start because our high school went 14-0, won the AA state title.
Oh, cool.
And started the next year collecting money for it. When I went to college, I worked for weekly papers, worked for the Virginia Gazette. I strung for them and strung back for the Yorktown Crier and finally got on with the Daily Press, all while I was at William & Mary.
Oh, okay.
So I got my bachelor's degree there and then finally got on full-time. So I had to wait 6 months after I graduated for something to come open. So I was working sports full-time and go in 6 months. I've been there, my first job evaluation, and the boss says, you're doing a good job overall, but a mediocre job for you. Why I'm now a university professor, not a sports writer, why I didn't go down the Tony Kornheiser path. I came out of that job interview saying I'm going to graduate school, went to Virginia Tech, got a master's of urban affairs, and paid my way or worked my way through by stringing and eventually working at the Roanoke Times as a sports writer and did other things. I did general assignment. So I spent like 8 years in the newsroom at various capacities in the New River Valley Bureau. I turned down a chance. When I was leaving, they said, hey, you're going to be in Blacksburg. You want to cover Virginia Tech football for us, the Daily Press. I could have been the beat writer. And said, no, I want to start over. It's like, that's the whole reason I'm going to graduate school. Like, I look back and it's like, But I did get to cover Virginia Tech football for a couple of years, strung 1 year for actually the Daily Press, 1 year for the Washington Times. I covered Virginia Tech basketball for four seasons, two for the Daily Press, which is at Newport News, Virginia, and two for the Associated Press. So I sat in press row and hearing all this about court storming. Recently, I was involved in one, the last game I ever covered in Castle Coliseum. I actually was there running quotes for the AP because since it was a big game, it was the NIT quarterfinals. So they sent the actual AP reporter, but the people knew me, so they got me the credentials and the parking. Parking's very important, by the way. I do agree with Tony on that. So I don't know if you've ever seen Castle Coliseum. They have about 2 or 3 foot walls to go up into the stands, and students were at the end of that game where Virginia Tech qualified to go to Madison Square Garden for the NIT, which they eventually won. Students were getting on the top of that concrete wall and then jumping. They're jumping literally over the press table, which at the time was court level.
Oh, wow.
We had greatest seats in the house.
Yeah.
So, like, we're running to get out of there, trying not to get jumped on.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did that my last year. I covered other things. Hired as a extension specialist and a faculty member at West Virginia University in 1995. A couple of years later, met the woman who I'm now related to by marriage. So, and she actually was considerate. It's like, what time's your call tonight? So I didn't have any static on that, though. I will say, well, you're going bowling tonight, I'm going grocery shopping, so you've got a much more fun evening plan. I've worked my way up through. It'll be 29 years here in Morgantown in August.
Oh, cool.
We got one son. He's a junior, double majoring in history and political science at the university. And I've got the dog who doesn't like to sleep and doesn't know to come in the rain. It's a 10-and-a-half-year-old Labrador Retriever, or like I say Lapidor because she just likes to plop on top of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And she's white. So the good thing is she's white, so you can actually see where she's dirty.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah,
that's helpful.
So, but she's lovely dog, and you know, that's sort of me. I've done newspapers. I actually had a couple of radio shows while I was at the Roanoke Times, so I know that. But I never got the TV. So I Tony Kornheiser comparison stopped at radio. Never got podcast. Never got television.
Right.
Nice. Well, now you are podcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
yes, that is true. But yes.
Now, can we go way back though? Seriously, your undergrad. What was your major? Was it journalism?
I majored in government and minored in sociology.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So government, political science, basically.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So where did the sports writing come from? It was just a passion?
Well, it went back to, it was an opportunity when I was in high school
right.
working
yeah.
for the weekly paper.
Yeah.
And so I just started doing things. And so I figured, well, okay, it's a little weekly paper. All the other schools will figure this out and have somebody come and do their games. And so everybody have articles. No, nobody ever did.
Wow.
So when basketball season rolled around, I'm like, okay, I'm going to cover the whole district. And, you know, fortunately, the high school I went to, Tab High School, was like top one or two in all the sports. So it wasn't too bad to, you know, be following that.
Sure.
But I just started covering more and, you know, went to basketball and then baseball. And the first thing I ever strung for the Daily Press was my senior high school baseball, because I went with the team to go to the regional final and it got rained out. So the reporter went back home. And they paid me to call in and give them information, like $15, the first money ever made doing newspapers.
Wow.
So nice. It just became something I could make money at.
Sure.
And I got known. And this was the heyday. I mean, newspapers now have like 20 reporters for everything.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1980s, the Newport News Daily Press had 20 people plus in the sports department.
Wow. Okay.
It was huge.
Yeah.
If it moved, we covered it. We had 4 or 5 guys just on preps, and we're talking, it's 100,000 circulation newspaper at the time, a couple of cities, 100,000 other areas. So the catchment areas maybe was not quite 500,000 people, total coverage area, maybe more if you went up in the hinterlands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the paper declared itself the official score of any game it was at, for example. It was that much weight it carried.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
cool.
I got a call in like February. There was a part-time job, 1983, go in and they give me a typing test. I did not do well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I'm the only person I ever gave a typing test to.
Oh.
Whoa.
So I don't know why. No one ever heard of that. I went to adult education and learned how to type. Skill that I would highly recommend because I've kept it to this day.
Yeah, sure.
And can just sit at a keyboard and do things. I can take notes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 40 years since I took that class. So then I'm at the American Legion All-Star Game in 1983, and the guy comes, the head prep writer named Ray Hebert, a guy from New England, got my voice like this. Really rough in New England, and with had multiple pack-a-day smokers, so it really gave resonance to his voice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go call Len Burke. Len Burke was the acting sports editor at the time. And I said, well, okay, I'll call him tomorrow. He's like, ah, go call Len Burke. I said, I'll call him tonight. He said, no, go call Len Burke. There's a phone in there. Go call him now. And next thing I know, within a week, I'm in there. He's hired me. I've got a job. They hired somebody else at the same time. Person didn't last a night.
Mm.
Got in and said, no, this is not for me. I stayed 4 years.
Okay. Uh-huh.
3 years part-time and then the 1 year at full-time. A couple of summer internships along the way where I actually was full-time hours.
Yeah.
And it just was something that the boss, Skip Miller was his name, who became executive editor because Len was a temporary position. He'd covered UVA and all that. But he was the one who kept telling me, you belong in a think tank. You belong in a think tank. And essentially, he forced me into it when he told me, yeah, you're doing a mediocre job overall. And he wasn't meaning my performance. He just thought I could do better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really thankful for that because he pushed me off in a direction.
Sure.
Which I probably needed that push because you can get very comfortable in doing something you enjoy.
Yep.
But may not be something that's really what you're meant to do.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. I know the feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Say. Oh, my gosh.
Roxy
yeah.
pushed me out the door, so that was good. And Roxy, you've been to Newport News. You know that,
I
right?
I have been to Newport News.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a big town, but what's the school there?
Newport News? Yeah. It's Christopher Newport, the D3 school, yes.
What's it called?
It's now Christopher Newport University.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Did we play? I don't remember where we played.
I don't remember
anyway,
where we played.
We did White Christmas there. That's all I remember. Yeah. That was one of the years.
One of the stops.
It's so funny when you remember certain things about certain towns.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we were only there for half a week.
Yeah, I remember we did laundry there. That's my memory of Newport.
We spent like 3 days there, three days in.
Yeah. But I also tacked High School Musical 2 there, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, enough about us. Let's get back to you. But let's take a quick break here because we've got to find out how you became a little and all that stuff. And we also have to read something else on the form. But let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Ross.
Littles, a collaboration from Greg Smallwood, episode 179, and Joey the Jammer, episode 3.
Each year from Buffalo comes a voice heard just for NCAA. Tony's got all of those pros picking brackets and then me, but only one I gotta hear before I fill out my sheet. Cause she's never ever heard of these teams, and she can't even pronounce them, I just know it. But only she had George Mason back in 2006. You know I can't wait to hear Phil's Bomb's Picks. I always roll with Phil's Bomb's Picks. The way she says Baylor and Marquette and Creighton and Lafayette.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we're lucky enough to have Mike Doherty here with us.
Yes.
And he did have something on the form.
Okay.
That I did. Now, I don't think you quite covered this. You might have dropped it in conversation. It says, I might be one of the few guests who have had a story in the Washington Post sports section. Ooh. Now, can you go into that?
Well, yes, I can, but probably not as much detail as I'd like to because I can't remember because it's been 30 years or close to it. But when I was in graduate school, the Roanoke Times, I did a lot of freelance work for other newspapers. Heck, they would set me up to do freelance work for some of the competing little dailies. These high school person, the lead writer at the time, guy by the name of Bob Teitelbaum, would connect me. And you just, when you're in around there for long enough, people know you do good work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The jobs were opening up for me. If I needed them, $15 here, $15 there. The Washington Post was a similar situation. I'm pretty sure it was a high school soccer championship or something along those lines. But it was a high school state sporting event. They look for local reporters. And a couple of times I remember the high school person, I reached out or was connected with me. And so I wrote a couple of just game stories that made it into certain editions of the Washington Post.
Oh, neat.
Cool.
Okay. Wow.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was ever in there the same day as Tony, but I might have been. I do have a story from newspapers about getting my name in different places. Again, this was early 1980s. Women's and girls' sports were just starting out. And one way I figured could make a niche, I'd cover sports nobody else wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I followed a lot of high school girls' basketball. Today, you know, you've got polls. They're treated just like boys' basketball.
Yeah.
They're state rankings. And 40 years ago, there wasn't that.
Right. Sure. Of course.
It wasn't for women's college. There wasn't a ranking. It was somebody at the Philadelphia Inquirer did a ranking. I can't remember the name. And it would say ranked by so-and-so, you know, the person's name, the Philadelphia Inquirer. And that would, there was no AP poll. So I started ranking the top schools in class AAA, the largest class at the time in Virginia. And the last one, I stuck my name in, just like the writer at Philadelphia did. And it's really, but that was kind of humorous to see what papers didn't catch it and left the name in and ran with it.
Right.
I know the Fredericksburg Freelance Star had the name in it. Uh-huh. I don't know other papers. I know some other papers edited it out. But right. that was actually far more fun, you know, when you start getting bylines in other places, because I was still at the time thinking it might have been a career path to just get the name out there.
Right.
And those type of things would never happen today.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But, and it's also very good to see women's sports getting its due. That probably, if I think back at some of the crazy stuff that happened in the dozen or so years, that's right up there with some of this, the things that have occurred.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right, now let's get into your littleism. Is that we say it?
Yes.
Littleism?
Littledom.
Littledom. How did you become a little, and how did you start listening to Tony and all that stuff?
Well, I discovered streaming really early.
Okay.
I'm university. I'm an extension specialist. That was my primary assignment. And now I've got a mixed assignment. I teach them in the classroom. I do extension work as well. So most of the time I was not in the field. So, you know, I go out and work with communities. But, you know, a lot of that's prep work. You're sitting at your desk. You're doing stuff. And in the late 1990s, ESPN started streaming all their radio broadcasts.
Right.
So I would get in there and just put on the ESPN. I'd listen to Mike and Mike. I'd listen to Tony Kornheiser's show. I'd listen to Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Well, eventually got in the way of doing work. So I started I stopped listening to Dan Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped listening to Mike and Mike, but I kept listening to Tony. And I remember even at times, I knew about Tony Kornheiser. I remember reading about the bandwagon when I was in college and thinking how neat that was, because by that point I grew up a Baltimore Colts fan because everybody else was Washington Redskins fans, except for the oddballs who were Dallas Cowboy fans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where I grew up, I kind of felt deserted when they moved to Indianapolis, so I didn't really root for anybody, but I did start rooting for Washington because after a while you just kind of feel like you have to, and it was a very successful time. And so seeing the bandwagon, it was a lot of fun, and those columns were hilarious. And growing into the government library where you could get a copy of the Post and you could read different things, including, you know, the sports section and the leisure section, lifestyle section, whatever they called it there, because he was working in both, gave, you know, an opportunity to see and learn about the bandwagon. So I knew who Tony Kornheiser was. I remember watching the sports reporters, because having been in that business was always something that was interesting to me. So I knew who the people were who were prominent columnists.
Yeah.
And occasionally, if you're in the right part of the state, you could hear WTEM. So I tried to listen to that, because that was often, his show was often on in the afternoon or at one point. So I heard that and I kept listening. And during the early days of streaming, they didn't take breaks.
Right. Yep.
So if you've probably heard about the infamous internet show.
Oh,
sure,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. All that content. Yep.
We've had a few clips sent to us.
Yeah.
Well, and more importantly, I remember them. Wilbon would come on and talk about a little bit about the TV show, and he'd say, "Phil, take us off," because he wanted to talk about became PTI. And so been, you know, listening and following ever since. I remember sitting in the hospital room while my wife prepared to give birth, watching PTI. Mm. So
I got my priorities straight.
I could see his day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this was not the day she gave birth. Actually,
sure.
It was before that, but yes.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. Well, and this one I always like to ask, this next question, because you moved all over growing up, and now you live in a state with basically no professional sports. So what is your favorite sport? What's your favorite team? Things like that. Is it all college?
Sure. Well, remember, I'm only 75 miles south of Pittsburgh.
Okay, fair.
Morgantown, West Virginia is the last exit in West Virginia, the one for the university.
Yeah.
I'm the one two before that now. They built one since I've been here for a shopping center.
Yep.
So, but I'm like 10 miles to the PA line. I'm in the Pittsburgh television market.
Okay.
So when I moved here, you kind of had to become a Steelers fan.
Okay.
And not a bad team to have to root for.
Sure.
Although I tell you, I spend far more time on the red zone than anything else during football season.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey, my sister had become a Penguins fan, so I kind of gravitated toward them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Pirates, but I'm a an Orioles fan last year was so gratifying. Sure. I grew up as a Baltimore fan because when I was like 6 years old, I liked this person who was on television, had a talk show in the morning, like they used to have on television, local talk shows. Yeah. And he said he was from Baltimore, so I decided I'd like all the Baltimore teams.
Oh, nice.
And so I was a Colts fan, an Orioles fan, a Bullets fan.
Uh-huh.
Mm. I do find it ironic, all the machinations about the Bullets maybe leaving for Northern Virginia, although it appears not that's not happening right now.
Right, right.
Shut the money off. But people forget. They got stolen from Baltimore to get to Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even try to think, well, I'll root for the Baltimore Claws, which I don't think ever dropped a puck in the WHA.
Wow.
So had affinity. I'd never been to Baltimore. Might have driven through it or ridden through it. I was far too young to drive at this time. But so that became the team I rooted for, and I still root for the Orioles. Other things at Pittsburgh, you know, obviously you follow a lot of WVU sports. My wife is a graduate of Western University. My son will be a graduate of WVU, and I get paycheck from them. So when people say, "Who do you root for when Virginia Tech plays WVU?" I say, "Well, I know who signs my checks." So
right. That's important. Now, my question though is West Virginia, who is their arch rival? Isn't it Pitt in college football?
Well, yeah, that's the,
well, this is what I never understood, because like you're like hating Pittsburgh in college, right? But then professional, you're rooting for them.
Well, it's even though they share the same field, it's different. And, you know, it's been tough the last decade or so when they weren't playing because of all the conference realignment.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So
gotcha.
They just started playing again last year after almost a decade of not seeing each other on the football field. They have been playing most years in basketball. But yes, that is sort of ironic that you sit here in Pittsburgh Steelers territory and root for Steelers and hate the Panthers.
Yeah, right.
But that's okay.
I used to date someone from West Virginia, and that's the only reason I knew that. That's the only reason I knew all that.
Of course you did, Chuck.
Of course. It always comes back to one of my exes.
Yeah.
But no, seriously. But she would have nothing to do with Pittsburgh. She's like, I can't. She didn't even watch professional football because she hated Pittsburgh so much.
Wow.
So
the success of the Steelers is kind of made everybody Steelers fans over the years. So
right.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Well, as you know, this wouldn't be the Loyal Littles podcast without some fun, dumb questions. So we're almost out of time. So let's do that, Roxy.
What do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
There's so many different things to pick, but the first thing that pops into my mind is fire.
Ah.
Not really an invention, but...
Well,
it was a discovery.
Somebody had to come up with the idea. It's like, hey, you know, if we take this up and burn, and you think of it, that's really the whole basis of our energy, because we burn things to get energy.
Yeah, true.
That's electricity, so I'll go with fire.
Love it.
It beats out the wheel.
It just beats out the wheel. All right, how about what's the one movie you'll always recommend to people?
It is a holiday movie. I'm going to say it because it's on my DVR right now from this past Christmas. It's A Wonderful Life.
Oh.
I just like that movie. I've always liked the roles Jimmy Stewart played and professional career think that really the arc of that, showing how much difference an individual can make without ever realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As I get toward the end of my professional career and have to put things together, it's like begin to realize, hey, I actually did something with my life.
Yeah.
And that's the realization that is seen in that movie.
Yeah. This was
so
the
great.
First
so I would
year,
always recommend that.
Yeah. This was the first year, I think, in probably 20 years. I watched it. It was on Christmas Day while I was getting the apartment ready for Roxy and her parents to come over for Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't seen it in probably 20 years, and I actually put it on because I hadn't seen it in so long. And I was like, I love this movie.
Yep.
So,
it's a great one.
All right, Roxy, what's next?
Okay. Would you rather win an Olympic medal, an Academy Award, or the Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, probably the Nobel Peace Prize, because it meant I actually did something meaningful on a global scale,
sure.
or at least within the world.
Yep.
Nothing against the other two. First of all, I'm not athletic enough to win an Olympic medal. And even though I work as a planner, they don't have urban planning in the Olympics anymore. They really did at one time.
Uh-huh.
You didn't know that. But the Germans dominated the category. Americans won like one bronze. I haven't acted since like junior high, so I don't think I'm going to win the Academy Award. I'll take the Nobel Peace Prize for I made a contribution somewhere that had some meaning.
Excellent.
All right. So let's go from smart and funny to just dumb.
Okay.
If you could squirt any condiment from your finger, what would it be?
So many good options.
Right? I'd want one in each finger, but
yeah.
That would be nice if you had multiple fingers.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to go with like a spicy mustard.
Okay.
Because it really can play all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about horseradish, but you don't want that on certain things. I thought about Thousand Island dressing just to be weird. But
wow.
No, that would get, okay. That would get clogged up.
Yeah.
So I'll go with like a spicy brown mustard.
Nice.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right. One more, Roxy.
All right. If you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you want to be?
The name that pops into my head is Homer Simpson. Because at one point I was thought, you know, I am in I'm perfect training size to play the life-size Homer Simpson.
There you go.
But
it's a good answer.
Just that whole world to see how that all would be.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Be really interesting.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Nice. Well,
that's a good answer. Okay, let's do some rapid fire. How about Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek by a nudge.
Okay.
I like both.
Okay, good.
All right.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke Zero.
Okay.
But one thing I've done the last few years is cut a lot of soft drinks out.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to be water at this point.
Sure.
But for the question, I'll go with Coke.
Nice.
Okay, great. All right, Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family?
Partridge Family. I always thought I resembled Danny, but thankfully I don't behave anything like that when I was of that age.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
I've told the story in the podcast. I met him once,
yeah,
but we won't go into it now.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been interesting.
It was very interesting. It was later in life. It was in a drugstore. He didn't look so good.
There you go.
Anyway, go ahead, Roxy.
Certainly the path went
sideways.
The path.
Yeah. Sure. Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Nice.
Okay.
I've gone back and forth, but right now I got more crunchy than smooth.
That's the way to go. I'm just saying. All right, and how about Uranus jokes? Not funny or never not funny?
Oh, they're never not funny.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I need to get some fudge to go along with those jokes.
Ooh.
Excellent. All right. Well, Mike, we can't thank you enough for coming on and taking the time to meet the Littles.
Yes.
Is there anything we can plug for you, and how can people get in touch with you or follow you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
I am on X. It's MDOERTY, but I don't post nearly as much as I used to because it's not nearly as nice a place as it used to be. To be honest, I'm still on there because some of the sports writers I knew are still on there.
Yeah.
You can search my name on Facebook. I'm on there.
Okay.
As well. So I'm striving for that Peter King stage of life.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks again. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Traditionally, I've been over. Mm-hmm. I've gotten lazy now and just put the toilet paper on whichever way it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm usually changing it when it really needs to be changed, and so I'm not looking.
Yeah.
But traditionally, I've been an over guy.
All right. Nice.
On this podcast, though, we call that adaptable.
Yep.
Roxy here is adaptable.
Yep.
So...
Yep.
She's not really one way or the other.
I won't get mad if it's one way or the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
I take
she's
notice,
really sweet,
but...
and I'm an over, so she'll stick with that for now.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Right. I don't go around changing people.
Right. You don't Chuck Todd it.
Right.
What did Chuck Todd who said he did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. We call it Chuck Todding the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. I don't do that.
Oh, good for you.
Nice.
Okay. All right. I might. I'm just saying. Depends on the situation. That's
sure,
all I'm going to say.
All right.
Well, Mike, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate the time.
Oh, no problem. I'd be glad to do it.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, Littles. This is Sandra Rohde, and you are listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Michael Doherty, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Always a good time.
Oh, yeah. Lots of good stories.
Yeah. Now, Roxy, before we get to our rocks box this week,
mm-hmm.
we've got, well, mm-hmm. let's do this first. We just wanted to say, we have a question. Tommy. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? Can you feel me near you? Tommy, can you see me? Can I help to cheer you?
Ooh.
Oh, Tommy. That's obviously from Tommy.
Yep.
We just saw
the who's Tommy.
The who's Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the what's.
The who's.
The who's. We just saw it. We got to
did
see it
in previews. Yep.
Yeah, it's still in previews.
Yeah.
It opens this coming week, I believe.
I
it opens
so.
This week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it opens this week, actually.
Yeah.
So we saw it in previews. Great show. If you're in town. And you're obviously, if you're a Who fan, you're going to want to make sure you check it out. We've talked about revivals before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too far into it.
Yeah, I mean, I had nothing to compare it to.
Full disclosure, full disclosure at the top. Dear friend of ours is the lead producer on it.
Yeah.
This is the company that produces White Christmas, the tour, or used to produce the tour of White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously we're pulling for it.
Yeah.
You know, we're hoping it does well.
Right.
But that shouldn't mean that's not how we like the show or not like the show, whatever.
Right.
No, I saw the original. You didn't, right?
No.
Yeah.
That was in 93.
Yeah.
I was 4 years old.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. You know when parents didn't think
didn't
hear about the Acid Queen would be a good thing to go
see? No, I didn't know anything about theater at 4 years old.
Well, but there's been other theaters that do it later in life.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, actually, I did it. My school did.
Oh, that's
Wagner
right.
did it
yeah.
when I was a junior.
Right. So you kind of knew the show.
Yeah.
But you had never seen the clips of Elton John in the
no.
big shoes. And
no,
the...
I did. I watched the movie before we did the show at Wagner so that I knew kind of what
remember?
It was about.
Because I put it
I
on for
remember.
You and you
yeah,
were like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
I didn't remember.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, some things changed. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I usually hate about revivals mm-hmm. is like, just don't, it's not.
Don't mess with it.
You didn't have to mess with it.
Right.
You know, just keep it, mm-hmm. you know. And they did this futuristic thing with it.
Yeah.
And we're still not clear what that is.
Yeah. There were moments where it was very cool. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. But overall.
We were still a little confused by it.
But I want to say it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The show is great.
It kind of annoys. I'm going to get those answers. I'm going to find someone that can explain to me what that was.
Yeah.
And what they were trying to do.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter, though. You will still thoroughly enjoy the show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And yeah. 16 Broadway debuts are yeah. being made with this one show.
As a matter of fact, I think we're going to go into this. So we had tickets to go see a 2 o'clock matinee.
Mm-hmm.
It was canceled.
Yeah.
There was sickness in the cast.
Yeah.
Now, because they're still in previews, we're going to pull the curtain back a little bit here, Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even started understudy rehearsals
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, you don't start understudy rehearsals
until the show,
opens.
Because
right.
they're still making changes during previews.
Yeah.
They're updating, making, you know, hopefully
yeah.
making it better.
Yep.
You know, they see what the audience's
making
reaction
fixes.
Are.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day they have rehearsal.
Yeah, sound and lights, they're working those
yeah.
things out. So
now this day, though, there wasn't going to be any rehearsal because they had two shows. They had mm-hmm. a 2 and then a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the 2 was canceled because they had so much sickness in the company that they didn't have the people to go on. They were going to cancel the 8 p.m. So the people that, you know, we had our tickets through called us and said, hey, we're canceling the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure if they're going to do a show tonight, but if they do you want to come to tonight's show?
Right.
So we were like, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Then they wrote back and said, okay, we're doing the show. However, there's a couple major understudies on, so you might not want to see it. And we were like, no, let's do it. That's fun, you know?
Yeah.
And we were probably going to see it anyway once it opens.
Yep.
I honestly, the one was the Acid Queen.
Yep.
She was an understudy.
Yep.
And when we say 16, this might have been their, like we said, the understudies don't go on until they have to go on.
Right.
So they're still in. This might have been the first time these people stepped on a Broadway stage.
Could have been.
Which is kind of cool if you yeah. think about it. If we were there and then they become big stars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was fantastic.
Yeah. She
played
was
the
great.
Acid Queen.
Yep.
And then the other one was Captain Walker.
Yep.
The dad.
Yep.
And I will say this. We said, you know, you could see the nervousness for about 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he settled
he
right
settled
in.
Right in, yeah.
And he was fantastic.
Yep.
He was fine.
Like no, it was great.
You wouldn't even have known.
No.
But because it was previews, the director came down and said, you know, he talked about it and said, look, you know, we're still in previews. We might have to stop the show. Mm-hmm. Just
and
bear
also,
with us.
And also, we've got this going on.
And we've got
on,
understudies
so.
Going on. And like you said, sometimes this is the first time they've ever done
yeah.
the show.
But honestly, after a speech like that, the audience eats that up. And the
yeah.
audience, like
and they're
whoever's
on your side.
There, they're on your side. They're so excited that they get to see you, you know, try this. And it is actually very exciting for
yeah.
the audience as well. So,
yeah. yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the show was great. Honestly, I really liked the Tommy. I don't have...
Roxy
you know,
has a new crush.
I don't have Michael Cervases to compare him to, unfortunately. I mean, I can watch YouTube videos, but this kid, also
yeah.
a Broadway debut.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Yes.
I'm a big Michael fan.
Yeah.
yeah
oh,
so.
Of course.
Yeah,
me
right.
too. But yeah.
All right, should we get to the bowling segment?
Okay.
We're here from Bobby Gottfried, episode 12. He said, have not bowled in years. Mediocre 87 in the first game, but I followed up with a 135 in game 2.
Hey.
I think if I had another game, I could top 150. Really now?
Ooh.
Really? Really? Okay. So.
That's great, Bobby.
Littles have probably been waiting for the update. I told you it was going to happen. The Hoovers mopped us up.
Yeah, Ritz.
It was. I mean, I had a great night.
I did not.
Yeah. Ritz wanted to bowl against me, and it's hard to explain because we were the top two bowlers.
The matchups,
but they had a bowler going with no handicap, and I didn't want to do that to one of my bowlers because 9 out of 10 times you have to like at least get a 200 to get those points. So I had a person that was just one pin below me in handicap, so I put him up against Ritz. And so Ritz and I had a little private thing going, and we tied the first game with handicap. We tied. It was kind of cool. And then the second one I did a little bit. I had a great night. I had a 165, I think, in the second game. The first game, I don't remember what I had. Now, Roxy, you didn't do so well.
No,
you still did fine,
I'm annoyed.
Though. You're so hard on yourself.
I'm
you really
so
are.
I'm so annoyed.
But I was right. We kind of got mopped up. So, but we are still in third place. Or no, we dropped to fourth place.
We're in fourth place. We're still top 5.
Yeah, still top
so.
5. Yeah, that's top
or,
three.
I'm sorry, top three. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're in fourth place. And so anyway, so it's position week this coming up. We will be rolling against the Congo Boleros.
So you don't like rolling against.
Well, they're a little too serious. I wonder if Omar's going to, you know, I don't think he can come because he hasn't bowled yet this year, I don't think.
Oh, right,
so,
right.
But we have a lot of other friends on that
team.
Oh, sure.
No, they're a fun team.
It'll be a fun time. It's
they're
just,
more competitive with
themselves.
It's going
to be competitive, right. It's going to be really competitive.
It's more with themselves than with us.
I don't know.
I mean, of course, they're just like
and
you,
and now that they're in third place, they're going to want to keep third place.
You should be on their team. You fit
maybe
right in.
Maybe I should, probably. Anyway, whatever, Roxy. All right, that's the bowling segment.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right, we heard from Ed Butt, episode 51.
Listen up, everyone. This is a big announcement.
Big announcement. If you have been paying attention while listening to The Big Show, you know that Tony, Mark Feinsand, and the other baseball experts are favoring the Braves to face the Dodgers in the NLCS. So, does anyone really think the Nats stand any chance when they host Atlanta on Saturday, June 8th at 4:05? Does anybody really care? No, because the Little Palooza seats for that game are in the upper deck looking down on third base with our backs to the setting sun. More importantly, we have easy access to the concourse right between District Drafts and DC's legendary Ben's Chili Bowl. In college, we always said the Fox City Foxes games, White Sox AA, was the only bar in town with a living baseball game for entertainment. Everything is set. We have a block of 21 tickets, and the Nats are holding two more rows of seven behind them until a month before the game. So please RSVP ASAP for the game and for other events at dinaindamascus.wixsite.com. $35 each. I accept cash. I'm old. Or Venmo. I'm not that old. Oh, and plan to arrive early. First, it is Nats Soccer Jersey Day, so you want to be one of the first how many ever. More important, fellow littles will be pre-partying during batting practice. Ed Butt, I'll save you the trouble of looking it up, episode 51.
All right. We have an update.
We do.
That was sent in like 2 or 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, yeah, of course, we'll make sure we read that, get that information out.
Yep.
We have an update. It says, Lewis, could you please tell Chuck and Roxy that already 15 national tickets have been reserved for the Little Palooza event? And Chuck and Roxy's names are not part of the list.
Oops.
I'd invite you as well, Lewis, but I understand that Chuck is getting pretty jealous of Roxy's nice words about you. Dina, for now, in Damascus. I love that. For now.
It's only for now. That's right.
Yeah. So, point of the story is, littles, get your reservations.
Get
you
on
know,
it.
You know where else that...
Chuck, let's get on it.
What was that ridiculous website you just read off?
DinaIndamascus.wixsite.com.
Okay, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry. You know what you can do? You can go to loyallittlespod.com.
Yes.
There's a link at the top that says Littles Palooza. Click on that, and then it'll be right there. You just it says join, and you just click the little button. It takes you right to
Boom.
The website.
Join.
That's where
Done.
You can reserve all your things, all your events, whether you're going to the baseball game or not.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the baseball game's the important one because that's the one where you have to get the reserved tickets,
right.
And obviously, you'll also want to get your money to Ed,
right.
And stuff like that. So, all right, yeah, make sure you do all that. That's at loyallittlespod.com. All the events are listed. Please reserve for which ones you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a nice reminder. I guess we should just end with this, Roxy, because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
All right, it says, Dear Choxy, somehow you sneaky dropped 2 episodes, and my phone only gave me the latest. Like, whose fault is that? It's not my fault. Get a new phone.
Maybe it's your service provider.
Yeah, right? It wasn't until I got to the third wheel, slightly better than a monkey, Ritz's email, that I realized I missed an episode.
Oh, no.
Sadly, this is likely Lewis's fault. Probably. You're probably right.
How?
We'll go with that. I don't care. As long as it's not Chuck's fault. Anyway, July 25th, 2023 was the last time Simon sat in the third wheel seat. I knew someone would figure it out.
Wow.
Episode 249.
Whoa.
He's been mentioned here and there. I seem to recall he was trapped on an island, which is really code for he was in jail. But let's not split hairs here. Now that we know about the correct pronunciation of the town in Pennsylvania, we can put that topic to rest.
Lititz.
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 Lititz. Oh, okay. I think it was wise for Chuck to say he's never been to Lititz, Pennsylvania, but we all know he's likely visited Lititz often enough. Of course, being the gentleman he is in, denial is the right way to go. On the other hand, it seems Roxy enjoys talking about Lititz. I'm not sure if she's visited it or not, or if she wants to visit the place, but clearly she's comfortable in Lititz.
I have not been there.
Neither have I.
But I'll visit. That's fine.
Really? Who wouldn't be? I'm glad we split that up a little bit. I guess if too many people visit Lititz, the place could get a bad reputation. We should probably keep the place and upstanding. Littles, I read it as it is.
What?
We couldn't figure it out. I'll let Roxy go back and fill in the that's what she said moments, but doing that might be really hard. Rereading this might make them just sprout out at you unexpectedly.
Oh, no.
Just don't go too fast. And of course, make sure you go all the way. Just be sure to stay on top of it and ride it out till the end.
Is it
hot in here? Episode 178, ABTAHS. Remember, people, let it snow is really pronounced let it snow. Let it snow. I get it. All right. Very clever. As long as he kept that writer's name out of the email, that's great.
You know, I was curious if each time you read let it, like let it, if that was how he wrote it.
Did he? No.
He did. He separate. It was L-E space capital T-I-T-S.
Well, he didn't put a hyphen in like, you know, Jim Lee did.
No,
no.
No,
that's okay. All right. All right. Anyway.
That's almost like French, right?
Sure. Let's go with French.
Okay.
Montage, boo-boo. I don't know. Anyway, Roxy, that's all the time we have. Let's get out of here. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there, including the tab for Littles Palooza.
Absolutely.
Don't forget about it.
Get your tickets now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please, please go over there and give us a nice rate and review. We really appreciate it. And it always does really help. Remember, you can sign our guest book on our webpage.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
There have been some really good reviews over on Apple, and we really appreciate those. Maybe we should start reading some of those.
Ooh,
that'd be nice.
That'd be fun.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been really great. And please, please don't forget to check the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Get to that GoFundMe page for Chris. And, you know, like we said, every little bit helps Littles.
Yeah.
Littles helping Littles.
Yep.
And that's
all. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. And if they want a book, how can they get it, Roxy?
Go to aaronsbooks.com.
And the most important thing is in the comment section during checkout, don't forget to
use the code, people.
Bye.
I did not do well.
Aw, don't be so hard on yourself.
Oh, I think he did great.
My pride, silver linings. Can I run with you? For a wild horse that's wandered too far into the light, show me where you run.
The Loyal Littles podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Got a phone in there. Go call him now.
Oh, yeah.